Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR here in Vancouver. I'm proud to work and live on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. It is Fun Drive 2023. CITR's annual fundraising event has arrived. It's that time of the year when we ask you, listeners of the station, to help us to continue to provide you with quality independent radio programming. This year, the station's target is $20,000 to help us buy a new transmitter and to improve the quality of our radio signal. All donations for this can be made at citr.ca/donate. My show, Techno Progressivo, has been on the station since October 2010, and the station has allowed me to provide you with my mixes, quality guest mixes, and a big collection of interviews with a who's who of the local club scene, as well as a number of world-class DJs. I put together a Best of 2022 episode for you tonight with interview snippets from local producers Joel West, Sivs, Simon Doty, as well as Australian Will Smarks. Away we go. This is DJ Waugh speaking to Vancouver-based DJ and producer Joel West. He's been producing for over a decade with releases on Resilient, Kiko Records, No Match, and his own Groundwork Recordings, just to name a few. He's been a longtime resident at Gorgamesh and has done loads of other gigs around the city as well as most of the festival circuit for Western Canada. His latest release, Pulse Response, came out on February 25th on Groundwork. It's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is Joel West. To begin with, how do you define your sound?
How do I define my sound? I would call it a bouncy, fun, accessible techno, but with an edge to it, a cheeky edge to it. I can definitely go dark and heavy as well, but I like to bring people in and make sure people are having fun and smiling.
Okay, when you were younger, did you have any musical training that helped you out as you got into this as an adult?
Yes, absolutely. I was taking music lessons from a young age, but never really got serious about like piano lessons or I did a few guitar lessons, but didn't have either the inclination or the people around me to start a band, but was lucky enough to be involved in a lot of theater and musical theater as a kid. So I got a lot of training in music through doing musicals. So I developed a really good musical ear through that. And then just as we all do, grew up loving music and then moved to Montreal and started going out clubbing. And my love for music and a bit of my training started to meet my love for this new love for electronic music. And I said, well, hey, I don't have to have a band and have four or five other people to rely on and try and coordinate. I can be a DJ.
And did you start off DJing in Montreal, or was that something you started up once you moved to Vancouver?
It took a few years after that. I would say I definitely got into the scene going out in Montreal. My first gig was actually in Guelph, Ontario, after I left Montreal. I was in Montreal to go to post-secondary school. When I got to Guelph, Ontario, I bought my first set of deck and then played out for the first time at a place called The Cornerstone in Guelph. I don't know if it's still there or not. It was like a restaurant that did DJ nights. And train wrecked every single transition and absolutely loved it and was totally hooked from that moment on. We'll be right back.
when you first moved to Vancouver, can you just describe what the process was like of trying to establish yourself as a DJ and a producer in this city?
So I've been in Vancouver 10 years. I'd spent 4 or 5 years back in my hometown of Nelson, BC, where Shambhala happens every year. I left a very warm and involved, I was very involved with the community there. I was running my own shows. I was booking outside talent. I had my own radio show. I didn't pay cover everywhere. I knew everybody. I was going out all the time, playing a bunch of times every month, and then got to Vancouver and had to start all over again and had none of that. It kind of really took a little while for me to, like, at first it was a little bit of almost a depression, kind of like, you know, feeling the loss of that. But then I started the Groundwork Project kind of from feeling lonely after leaving such a great community and wanting to find a new way to create community, because I figured I'm probably not the only person that feels that way. And I know that as a DJ and producer, a lot of the work is solo. And so we don't really have the record stores to connect in the way that we used to, because everything is digital and online. So I thought creating a space for people who are involved in electronic music to meet and to rub elbows and to meet each other would be a really powerful thing. And that's lasted 7 years.
And with COVID essentially shutting down live shows for the last couple of years, what have you had to do to get your mixes and your music out to people?
Well, what I did during COVID is I absolutely doubled down on my releases. I hadn't released a lot before COVID, actually. And during COVID, I really went on a spree. In the last year and a half, I've released 40 or 50 tracks. And that's a lot. I just moved into production and really, really worked on getting my sound up to par and kind of took a bit of a risk and was like, you know what, I'm gonna work it. Like, maybe nothing will be a hit right out of the gate, so I'm gonna work on creating my back catalog, and I'm gonna be willing to fail in public and not hide anymore, and just put stuff out and see how it goes and kind of improve in front of people. So that was my goal during COVID.
We'll be right back.
Okay, and when you are producing music, which DAW do you work with and why?
I work with Logic because it's what I kind of graduated to in about 2007. I jumped up to that because a friend of mine was recommending it, and I was ready for something that was kind of more fully fledged and professional. And I work in the Apple ecosystem, so it works very well with that. I love the sound of it. I can't explain the nerdy kind of sound engineer end of it, but there is some actual stuff with the sonics that are a little different with Logic. They all have their own kind of sonic fingerprint, and I happen to really like Logic's, and it just works really well for me. I can work very quickly. I can confidently book a session at Northern House Studios for 4 hours and come out and know I'm going to come out of there with a new song that I'm usually done in about 3 hours or 3.5 hours. At this point, I'd rather stick with that than learn a new DAW.
When you are producing tracks and you only have a 4 hour time window, do you generally have an idea in your head before you begin making it, or do you go into the studio and just hope that something comes out within that 4 hour time frame?
I muck around and I trust the process. I have a process that works for me. It's a subtractive process. I create a loop and a groove, and I fill everything in, and I actually start mixing on that loop. And then I drag it all out to 6 minutes or 6.5 minutes, 7 minutes, and I start to subtract. So I look at it like looking at a sculptor looking at a big chunk of marble and then revealing the statue out of that. I have an idea of maybe the tone or the BPM I want to work at, or like what label maybe I'd be targeting, but I have no idea what's about to happen.
I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR's Fun Drive 2023 episode. The station is hoping to raise $20,000 to help us purchase a new radio transmitter. You can help us with this by visiting citr.ca/donate to allow us to continue offering you quality independent radio programming. Let's check out a little snippet from my interview with local DJ and producer Sivs. This is DJ Waugh speaking to Vancouver-based DJ and producer Sivs. She's been DJing and producing for almost a decade, with releases out on Force of Habit, Envied, along with local labels Monster Cat and Shepherd Records, just to name a few. She's a longtime resident at Gorgamish and Celebrities, and she's had loads of other gigs across North America, as well as playing at Croatia's Yacht Week event. Her latest release, When You Left, was released on March 11th on New York label Force of Habit. It's my pleasure to be speaking to her. This is Sivs. So to begin with, how would you define your sound?
It's changed a lot over the past few years, but definitely finding myself in the tech house realm lately. So lots of really minimal bass lines, a lot of percussion. I use a lot of vocals in my tracks as well. That's usually the lead. And yeah, I make stuff that's like groovy daytime happy house, as well as like music that's best suited for like late night after hours. But I would say if you were to categorize me, it would be kind of vocal tech house.
And did you have any musical training when you were younger that helped you out as you got into production as an adult?
Yeah, when I grew up, I learned piano, guitar, drums. I've always been a bit of a lyricist, so I'd write my own poems and lyrics and songs. Tried a little bit of singing, but it wasn't for me. But honestly, I feel like I had that foundation, but I really started from scratch again when I started producing. I feel like I had to learn everything from the beginning again. So yeah, I mean, I have a good ear and experience, but a lot of the production was like from scratch again. We'll be right back.
Is there anything about growing up on the West Coast that's inspired you to produce the type of music that you make?
Yeah, I mean, I would say my sound is always evolving. So like what I was mixing, you know, 8 years ago when I first started DJing was pretty different to what I'm into now. But just being surrounded by other DJs, local DJs, seeing the talent that comes to town. I think what got me into Tech House was when I became a resident at Gorgamesh After Hours, because they play more underground music there. So I'd go and check out what the other locals were playing, or some of the headliners like Gene Ferris would come there. And I was constantly discovering new sounds based on who I was catching playing in Vancouver. So yeah, over time, my sound has evolved just from like the influences that I get here.
Seven in the morning, we've been going at it all night. about the way you look at me with your eyes. It feels right.
Can you tell me what your experience of trying to build up your reputation and establish yourself as a DJ in the city was like?
It happened really naturally. I mean, at first I just used to go out a lot, and then I would meet promoters and DJs, not really knowing that this was what was gonna happen for me. And basically I got in through being a promoter. I was just bringing a lot of people out, like, to come out and dance with me and have a good time. And one thing led to another, and then yeah, I met local DJs. Somebody taught me how to DJ, and from there I really didn't skip any steps. You know, I played for free, I played to empty clubs, I played the opening slot, I train wrecked. Like, it's just, you know, it's been like 8 years in the making now. So yeah, I just kept at it and I hustled, and in good time things started to happen for me. So yeah. Just kept going.
And are you able to pinpoint a moment when this had shifted from just being a passion into something that was actually a career for you?
I think a really memorable moment for me was playing Bass Coast in Merritt, I think in 2019. I had a really good slot. It was like a daytime set Saturday before Claude Von Stroke. And I remember going to that festival a few years before and, you know, never thought I would be booked for it so quickly. But then, like, playing that set to, like, you know, a full dance floor, like a dream stage, I was like, yeah, you know, I think I'm doing it now. Things just started to kind of materialize.
I'm freaking out.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
This is the 2023 Fun Drive edition of Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and 101.9 CITR is trying to raise $20,000 to purchase a new transmitter to help replace the old one. Head to citr.ca/donate to help out the station. CITR offers a broad range of spoken word and independent music programming, and your donation will help us continue to deliver this to listeners. You just listened to a snippet of my interview from local producer and DJ Sivs. Tonight's third segment is from another great Canadian talent, Simon Doty. Let's see what he had to say. This is DJ Waugh speaking to Toronto-based DJ and producer Simon Doty. He's been producing and DJing for well over a decade. Throughout his career, he's had releases on 1605 and Tool Room, but over the past few years, he's become a staple on Hot Since 82's Knee Deep in Sound, Purified Recordings, as well as Anjuna Deep, where he's featured several times on their weekly Anjuna Deep Edition podcast. He's gigged alongside the likes of Nora Impure, Elke Klein, and Dosim, just to name a few. Already well established in Canada, he's been making some serious strides on the global front over the past few years. His Living Sound EP dropped on April 14th, and he'll be here in Vancouver at Village Studios on Friday, May 13th. It's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is Simon Doty. So to begin with, how do you define your sound?
I'm pretty versatile. Like, I like a huge range of music, and so because of that, I also make a huge range of music. And, you know, I think you might hear, if you hear some of my releases, you know, they'll have a pretty big range. Some will be house here, some will be deeper, more melodic, or things like that. And I think overall, kind of defining my sound would be sort of a intersection between clubby, dancey music, but also staying pretty musical.
Okay, and then how did you first get into DJing and producing?
I was actually DJing before I was making music. I was kind of always into electronic music for a long time, even when I was younger, even when I was quite young. When I got into university, I was really starting to get interested in DJing. And so I started, you know, DJing some parties and things like that in university, just like house parties and that kind of stuff. And when I graduated, I decided that instead of using my economics degree that I got, I was going to start DJing. And then, you know, slowly, like after that, you know, I ended up getting into producing as well.
Okay, is there anything about growing up in Alberta that inspired you to make this type of music, or is that something that kind of developed later on in life?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting because I think, like, I'm kind of associated with being from Calgary, and that's where my family lives now. But I actually grew up in Okotoks, so even a smaller place than that, which is a small town south of Calgary. And, you know, everybody that I was friends with in high school and things, they were listening to, you know, country and rock and all that type of stuff. So I'm pretty different, I guess, in that respect. But I mean, I was always sort of listening to different music at that time. And then I did end up meeting some people in Calgary that, you know, and playing at this club called Habitat. And so that sort of started to form kind of my sound and style, was those early years playing at Habitat and hanging out there. I would hang out there like every weekend almost, type of a thing, if I was around. And yeah, I think that really started to kind of form my sound and style that I kind of carry through now.
And when you first started producing, was there an aspect of that process that you found particularly challenging?
You know, I think probably for me, it was the synthesis part. I think a lot of that is probably the challenge for a lot of people. You know, I think there's, you know, a lot of producers that are, you know, good at sort of, you know, taking samples and arranging things and, you know, using sample packs and that type of stuff. I think, you know, when you take the next level, it's getting really good at the sound design aspect of it and the synthesis aspect of it. And I think that's not just for me, I think for a lot of people, that's the part that really takes, you know, the most amount of time to sort of learn and develop and understand. It's very technical, and it's very challenging to kind of be creating your sound, synthesizer sounds from scratch and sort of crafting and molding sort of the way the sound works. So it's definitely one that takes a lot of time.
And then when you are making tracks, which DAW are you working with and why?
I'm using Ableton. I have used Ableton for a long, long time. Basically, almost the entire time I've been making music. For a while, I was using Logic as well and kind of going back and forth between both. But at some point, you know, maybe 5 years ago or so, I just kind of decided to roll with Ableton strictly, and that's what I'm still doing to this day.
And then within Ableton, are you using mostly their VSTs, or do you have external VSTs and possibly outboard gear that you like to incorporate as well?
Yeah, I have a lot of analog stuff that I use. You know, I have, I guess, maybe 5 or 6 synthesizers. I have a drum machine as well that's, you know, that's analog, that's external. You know, and then I'll use a combination of other stuff too, VSTs as well. Diva is one, and Diva Omnisphere, a couple that I, VSTs that I use quite a bit. And then, you know, every once in a while too, I still use, you know, some of the stock Ableton type of things, and especially a lot of the effects and EQs and things like that. I just use, you know, a lot of the stock Ableton stuff.
Another great example of the quality programming CITR has on offer for you there from an interview with Simon Doty. CITR is having its fund drive this year from February 2nd to the 9th. The station is hoping to raise $20,000 to fund a new transmitter so we can send a stronger radio signal. Please help us with this so we can get that transmitter and continuing to offer you a broad range of fully independent radio programming. Go to citr.ca/donate to help the station out with your pledges. Up next is the fourth and final interview segment segment from this past year. This is from my interview with Will Sparks ahead of his gig here in Vancouver. This is DJ Waugh speaking to Australian-based producer and DJ Will Sparks, an artist who's been in the industry for over a decade. His Clubwork radio show can be found on multiple podcast sites, with his latest episode dropping last week on Apple Podcasts. With releases on Spin and Armada and Dim Mac, just to name a few, his resume also includes remixes for Armin Van Buuren, Gareth Emery, Steve Aoki, and the Chainsmokers. He's even worked alongside Flea of Red Hot Chili Peppers fame. He'll be here in Vancouver at Harbor Event Center on Saturday, October the 1st, and that's what we're here to talk about tonight. It's my pleasure to be speaking to the godfather of the Melbourne bounce sound. This is Will Sparks. So kicking things off here, how would you define your sound, and would you say that it's changed over time?
Wow, man, what an introduction. Yeah, it takes me back, but it has definitely evolved since the Melbourne bounce days. I guess that was just a time, and in my evolution of my production, and you know, I cherish those memories, but now it's going more the driving, more techno style, but in my own sort of way. You know, what are genres these days? It's, everything's sort of morphing, but whatever bangs to me, and I just can't wait to get back to Canada, to be honest.
Okay, and then looking back, can you think when you were younger and you initially heard this type of music, can you recall the effect or the impact that it had on you?
Oh, definitely. It was like almost like the happy hardcore stuff, Tiesto, you know, and then growing up around the Axwell era, it was all, you know, electro house. That was my favorite. But even before I DJed or even produced, I would just, you know, listen to the hard style songs, and I'd honestly imagine myself playing in front of a crowd when I'd listen to it. So it's so weird. I became, you know, I wanted to do DJing as a career.
I'm not afraid to
Okay, once you really got the bug, can you recall what your experience of trying to build up your reputation as a DJ and producer was like when you first started out back in Australia?
Well, there was no pressure. I just went with the flow. It was a hobby for me. So whatever I wanted to do, I just did it. And then as things progressed, it just started happening, you know. Got into the club scene in Melbourne, met a lot of people, promoters, and then as my productions were coming out, it was the SoundCloud era, so it was almost free advertisement. And then when people started coming to my shows back home to see me play, promoters would see that, and that's when I'd start getting booked.
Okay, and then was there a specific moment in time when you thought, this isn't a passion anymore, like this is a legitimate career and I'm going to make a living out of it?
Yeah, when I got paid $30 for my set, I couldn't believe he was giving me money for something I would have paid to do, you know. And then when it got to 50 and then 100 and then 1,000, it was like, all right, now it's time to start doing this seriously. So I'm very blessed. I never really did much after 17. I was just DJing.
Okay, let's talk about production a little bit. When you are making music, which is the DAW that you work with and why?
Ableton. I mean, it's just the one I've always used, and you know, you learn more every day with it. There's so many different ways to navigate a program, but they all pretty much do the same thing. It just matters what you're used to.
Okay, and then what's your approach to using Ableton? Are you using their plugins, or do you have external plugins that you like to use? And is there hardware that you like to use as well?
Oh, many external stuff. No, I definitely don't just do the stock Ableton sounds. But I don't have hardware anymore. I've had troubles with them, you know, servicing and stuff. But all the stuff internally is getting so advanced, and you know, the drivers are so clear, it's crazy. So, but I do work with a lot of synthesizers. It's the same thing. They all sort of, when you're designing sound, the fundamental things are all sort of the same. It just depends on how you want to work and what you want to work with.
A stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking for one.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca. Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
We are all done for the 2023 Fun Drive edition of Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and the station is 101.9 CITR. As we get ready to close the books on another episode of our annual Fun Drive, let me remind you that CITR offers a broad range of spoken word and music-based programming. We are hoping to raise $20,000 to continue offering the aforementioned collection of programming, as well purchase a new radio transmitter to send a stronger broadcast signal. Please consider donating to the station to help us do this at citr.ca/donate. If you've enjoyed the show, head on over to the Techno Progressivo show page at citr.ca or Apple Podcasts to hear this one again or listen to more great guest mixes and interviews from days gone by. Keep up to date with the show. Follow our socials, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Attic Jams is up next on the station. Stick around to see what they've got in store for you tonight, and I'll be back next Sunday with another guest mix or interview. Happy Fun Drive!